The portion of God's Word to which we draw our attention this morning is taken from the book of Leviticus, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt, where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." This is God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. Maybe after hearing the words of our text, you're settling back into your chair, trying to get comfortable, figuring that for the next 8 minutes or so, you're going to be able to relax, maybe zone out a bit, maybe even doze just for a moment. After all, these words are from Leviticus. It's laws, laws, and more laws. Do this, Israel. Do that, Israel. How boring. And yet, if we were to read this entire 18th chapter of Leviticus, you might have a different opinion. You see, this entire 18th chapter is about sex. That's right, sex. Now, do I have your attention? I apologize for my not-so-subtle attempt at sensationalism. Indeed, the thing we need to concentrate on this morning is not so much the intricacies of all of God's laws dealing with incest, which is what this 18th chapter is about, but we need to concentrate on why God gave these types of laws in the first place. Very simply, God wants you to protect his body. Now, God is not just out there looking over you and the entire universe from a distance. God is your personal God. Three times in these five verses, God uses his personal name to address the people. I am the Lord. And when God's Old Testament people heard that name, they knew exactly who was speaking. This was Yahweh. This was God who had promised them a Savior who would come and crush the head of the serpent, of Satan himself. This was Yahweh who had delivered them from their oppressive slavery in Egypt, who had sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness, who had brought them to and would give them the promised land. This was Yahweh who not only was going to give them that land flowing with milk and honey, but who also pointed them toward the ultimate promised land of heaven. You see, the people of Israel were God's body, the people through whom he was going to send the Savior who would provide salvation for the entire world. And so God needed to make sure that his body remained pure so that the promised one could come through them. He needed to preserve his people from all of the filth and the sin of all of the other nations surrounding them. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, God said. And you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. Both of these lands were rife with abominable sexual practices. In many cases, sex was a part of their worship. And so God wanted to make sure that his people knew that that type of practice was not acceptable. He wanted to make sure that his people remained intact, that they did not adulterate themselves with the genes and the practices of these heathen lands. He wanted to make sure his people knew that they were different, different from all of the other people in the world. Can the same thing be said about you? Are you different? Well, as we sit here this morning and you think about the people around you, maybe you don't think you're that different. After all, many of us share at least one thing in common. We have been chosen by our personal God. In the waters of your baptism, God laid claim to you. He came and he worked forgiveness of sins in you. He made you his own. He made you a part of his body, the Holy Christian Church. To him, you're just as special as anyone from his Old Testament people of Israel. So God wants you to protect his body. And we could understand that, I suppose, in a couple of different ways. God wants to protect you because you're a part of his church, because you're a part of his body. And the sins that we're tempted to commit and the sins that we do commit often have effects outside of us. For example, if your Christian friend sees you becoming enamored with online porn, he may think that, well, maybe that's not too bad. And then not only is your faith in danger, his is also. But we could also understand God wanting to protect his body in this way. God wants to protect you. Now, in one way, that might not make much sense if we really think about it. If we're a Christian, if we're a baptized child of God, why do we sin so much? How is it that that happens? Why do we sin every day? Why is it that we throw around our intimacy with as much thought as we put into a text message? Why are we not shocked at our own lustful thoughts and fantasies? Why do we allow ourselves to be bombarded with all of the filth that comes through our TVs and DVDs and computers? Why, if we're God's child, would he allow that sort of thing to happen? Well, God allows it, even though he wants to protect us, because we are not his robots. We are rational, thinking beings. We're the crown of his creation, yes, but we're not born that way. We're born as God's enemies. By all rights, God should leave us on our own to pursue with reckless abandon whatever it is we want to do. He should leave us on our own as we're headed down that path toward hell with billions of other people. But you're not just an anonymous face in that sea of the billions of people headed for hell. You're not a nameless person to God. God knows you. And in fact, before time even began, God not only knew you, he chose you to be his own. And then in time, God sent his son to be your savior, to live for you, never once getting swept away by the flood of temptation. He sent his son to die for you, to pay the penalty for all of your stolen moments of passion. And he sent his son to live for you, to rise from the dead for you, to guarantee that your sins are forgiven, to guarantee your inheritance of eternal life in heaven. So God wants to protect you, his special child. You are his prized possession. He bought you with the blood of his son. But you see, God knows that you're always going to have a battle raging inside of you. He knows that your old Adam, the old sinful nature, is always going to be fighting against your new nature, that nature he put in you when you were made his child. And so he doesn't want your sinful nature to lead you away from him into sin, sexual or otherwise. And so he sets up some limits. He sets boundaries in his grace in which you can serve him. He reminds you that he places these boundaries there for your own good, because he wants your life to be as blessed as possible. And as you look at these boundaries, these laws of your personal God, there's a part of you that wants to rebel. Your sinful nature kicks and screams and says, "You can't tell me what to do." But as a member of his body, as one in whom the Holy Spirit himself lives, you know that you have the freedom to serve God. You know that sin and temptation have no power over you to make you do anything, and that you are free to serve your Savior because he has freed you from the slavery of sin. You have the freedom to serve God and his entire body within those limits that he places, because you know God's love, you know his forgiveness, Trust that God will always protect you and that he will always keep you as a part of his body. Amen.